This is Man at Arms, and you are listening to the Masters of Grayskull.
Thank you, Mr. Gary Chalk, as Man at Arms from the 2002 He-Man and the Masters Universe cartoon series for giving us that promo. I'm, of course, TFG, and Mike joining me is Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
Hello.
We just want to put this at the beginning of every episode for Masters of Grayskull. We dedicate every single episode of this to the memory of Dean Stephan. Dean, who was the writer, story editor, all that kind of stuff on the 2002 He-Man series, passed away May 15th of 2018. And not only are we doing this because we're finishing our Powers of Grayskull series podcast, we're also, I feel at this point, doing this in the memory of him because the stories that he helped create and build for this series, it revitalized the MOTU franchise, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we didn't have a chance to ever talk to him before the show, but we can at least remember him as we move forward.
Absolutely. And now, on with the show.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia, defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 114th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is TFG. On Mike, hello.
Hello.
All right, your time is up. Are you ready to return to Eternia, sir?
Yes, but first, gotta thank everybody for both the Pogs feed and the Tooncast feed, because holy crap, these are the largest numbers I've seen on any of our shows ever. So, according to our lovely people over at Spreaker, who hosts all our files and everything else, on the Pogs feed, episode 108, the beginning of the 2002 journey, has two plays, which is people playing it on the website, and 130 downloads. I think that's the biggest download count we've ever had in the 7 years of this podcast. Over on the Tooncast feed, it's gotten 164 downloads. Like, I know people are like, 130 and 164, that's nothing, because most people are like, oh, but shouldn't you be talking about like 1,000 downloads or whatever? Yeah, we're not that popular, folks. So, but like normally I'll look at some of the numbers and be like, 30 people? That's great. Absolutely amazing. But I'm looking for the 130 or 200 people or whatever. So, between the two feeds, we've gotten 194 downloads of episode 108. If my math is correct. Wrong. No, it's not.
You just said like 120 on one and 160 on the other.
130 on one, 164 on
the
other.
So it'd be 200.
That's what I said. 290. That's what I said. 294.
Now you can rewind the tape. You said 194.
I said 294.
There's evidence in recording form. All right, so math. Mike's not good at math, but that's okay, because we're not here to talk about math in this episode of Masters of Grayskull. We'll be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes of the series, which are episode 19, Orko's Garden, episode 20, Buzz Off's Pride, and episode 21, Snake Pit. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Eternia.
Good morning, all. Now, today's duties are as follows.
Okay, I'm ready. Fire away.
Mechanic and Many Faces. There's been some suspicious activity near the Spillian border. Look into it.
Ooh, spy stuff. Can I help?
No, thank you, Orko. Ramman, Buzz Off. The palace's north wall was damaged during Skeletor's last attack. Needs to be fortified.
Oh, wait! I'm real handy. Maybe I can...
I don't think that'll be necessary. Sentry duty?
Oh! Me! Me!
Right. No rush, Your Highness.
Well, come on, Man-at-Arms! It's not fair! Everybody in the palace has something to do. A special job.
So?
So I don't. That's why no one takes me seriously.
Well, that's not the only reason.
There's gotta be something on that list for me.
Well, the royal gardens are in disrepair, but the job requires someone with...
A rake?
Experience.
Oh,
all right, Orko. Let's give it a try.
First up today is episode 19, Orko's Garden. Air dates approximately March 15th, 2003. Writer is Len Uhly. I don't know how to say his name. Uhly.
Yeah.
Len. It's Len. When Orko's role of overseeing the gardens at the Royal Palace proves to be a lot more difficult than he first expected, he journeys to the Evergreen Forest to seek out Mossman. So the emergence of Mossman. What did you think about this episode and the plot?
If it wasn't Orko, the rest of it's great. Just if it wasn't Orko, like, I'm sorry, Gabe, whatever your name is. I don't like the voice he does for Orko. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
Voices came up recently on the website as well, thanks to a Toon Master Tim. And we've talked about it a few times here. Obviously, when we're getting into this new series and we've been talking about different takes on different characters and the voices, and some work and some don't, I think we're in agreement that Orko's not as much. So,
Tim and I are in disagreement on Skeletor. Yes, Alan Oppenheimer will always be Skeletor, but it's Alan Oppenheimer, Campbell Lane, Brian Dobson. Campbell Lane was okay. The character was the issue with that series, not necessarily the voice. Whereas this is like not a return to form, but a dark, like, this would be 2002 Skeletor is basically what 80s Skeletor could have been if they went like a Dark Crystal route way back when.
Yeah, it's a little more serious, a little more dark, so it's hard to compare the two, but I think they're both adequate. They both serve this series fine. Like I said, the only problems I've had so far voice-wise, outside of maybe some minor ones that I've mentioned, is Orko's, and I do agree with him, Stratos is bizarre a little bit, too.
Yeah, Scott McNeil put a Scottish... It's basically James Bond who can fly.
Yeah, and that's not how I view Stratos just in general. but other than that, that's fine. I like a lot of stuff about this episode. I don't really have any Snake Mountain moments, but I do have some things that I do like. Number one, the palace wall is shown as being damaged by Skeletor's latest attack, and it needs fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they put that in this episode because it adds continuity to previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of adds that connection that, hey, we're not just ignoring that happened, and all of a sudden the palace is perfect again. It's, hey, in a previous episode we got attacked, and we're still working on fixing it. So I like that. I like that they present not only Mossman, but obviously Evil Seed as well in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are cool kind of arch enemies. Evil Seed's different, but he's a formidable foe. So I like the combination of those two. What did you think about Mossman and Evil Seed?
Oh, I love it. I thought it was great. I think the voice fits for Mossman. The character design is great. The character, like, traits of him are really, really cool. Evil Seed is a better version of what he originally was. Obviously 10 times more evil. And again, we're dealing with something that it's setting up a rivalry that is not He-Man and Skeletor. It's setting up a master and another evil warrior. Obviously, Evil Seed is not going to join in with Skeletor and his crew, but it's taking us to other places and other people on Eternia.
Yeah, and I think this is another way, a cool way, to have an episode that does not contain necessarily Skeletor. And I'm not saying that I want episodes that don't contain Skeletor, but it's nice for a change of pace every once in a while. And I think this is the right way to do something like that. You have a battle between two, good and evil, but it's a different good and evil. And it's still compelling enough where it's not just like some random kid or some, different stuff that they've done in the past. Yeah. In the Filmation series. So I think this is the way you do an episode that doesn't involve Skeletor. And I think they do a lot of cool stuff here with nature, between Mossman and Evil Seed. kind of the stuff that they do from an animation standpoint, visual standpoint. So I like that. Did you pick up any vibe from Mossman as kind of being like Andy Griffith?
A little bit, but Evil Seed's a little too evil to be Barney Fife.
Yeah, that's true. I guess towards the end of the episode, I felt like Mossman was Andy Griffith.
It was like he was a combination of Andy Griffith and Matlock. I don't know. I still like it. I don't have any... Like, Mossman's voice reminds me of what Larry Kenney did with Bluegrass and Silverhawks. Okay. Just a little bit. I don't know off the top of my head who does his voice. But just a little bit country with obviously a lot of rock and roll rolled in there a little bit, I think. But I liked it. I thought it was cool. And like you said, with the animation and the basically being in the forest the whole time, dealing with the plant thing and whatever, very, very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Some trivia here. Evil Seed is the second filmation-based villain to be reimagined for the 2002 series, having made a memorable appearance in He-Man and the Masters of the Universe Evil Seed episode in 1983. This later version was the first to be turned into an action figure by Mattie Collectors Club, 200 times subscription action in 2015, and the Filmation version following a year later. So you probably get a hold of those somehow, some way on the interwebs. Any awards, Power Swords, Havoc Staffs for you for this episode?
I'll give one to Mossman. I liked what he did. I'll give a Havoc Staff to Orko, because that the beginning part, like, oh, God. I get he's trying, but he's a little too trying, because the garden, so, like, I get that he wants to do something. I get that he's feeling left out. I get that they're trying to go for the whole, hey, nobody gets left behind thing. Everyone has a job, but... I don't know.
I got a Power Sword for Mossman and Evil Seed. I think they both are good characters in the series. So fan of both of them. Rating for this one. What do you got?
I'll give it a 4.
All right. You're at a 4. I'm at a 4. We're in agreement. I think this is a solid episode. I think it's one of the good ones as far as an introduction to a new character or new characters. I think it serves that purpose well. It might not have like this big mythology as far as the overarching series and whatnot, but I think some of these episodes are needed to sprinkle here and there. So a positive start. We'll take a break and we'll come off and see if come back and see if Buzzoff's pride is on equal footing or more or less.
John Payne was the voice for Mossman in this series. Obviously Lou Scheimer did him in Filmation.
Must be an important mission, huh? Going after Skeletor?
Going after fruit. Andrinos is about to celebrate our queen's jubilee. My queen is especially fond of the honeyberries grown there, in the village of Viridus.
What's that green glowy thing?
The crystal of Persinus. Its magical glow is what makes the crops in Viridus grow to enormous size and have unsurpassed taste.
Next up for today is episode 20, Buzzoff's Pride. March 22nd, 2003, written by Christy Marks and Randy Littlejohn. Yeah. Buzzoff, along with Orko, journeyed to Viridus, a land that houses the powerful crystal of Prasinus. I can't say these words. When the pair runs into three giants, Buzzoff is defeated and makes his way back to the royal palace, where he tells no one of the incident. All right, so we have a character episode for Buzzoff. What did you think of this one?
I liked it. I thought it was interesting. I thought that him going the pride route was kind of cool, because you see more of him. You see, like, he's Lord Buzzoff. He's this. He's that. That kind of thing. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I appreciate the character building for Buzzoff. Me personally, I've never been a big storyline guy when it comes to like stories about big giant trolls and stuff like that. Doesn't do a lot for me. So I ended up being kind of bored with this episode, but I still realize that it is a character building episode for Buzz Off, so I can't complain 100%. But I don't know. Compared to some of the other episodes, I was a tiny bit bored with this one.
Some produce for my village.
What seems to be the problem here?
I can see why, but it's one of those
not bad episodes.
No, not at all. Like, and honestly, it's taking. What, it's taking something that, you know, a character and trying to build on it, and what's funny is, and you always usually bring up trivia later, I actually, because I've interviewed her several different times, Christy Marks, I messaged her and I emailed her asking if she had any insight for us on this. And her response is as follows. Trying to figure out what Mattel wanted for this story wasn't easy. The overall guidance for the series was that they wanted it to be more anime, quote unquote. After discussing it, we got the idea that they were talking more about art techniques, though not art style, than storytelling style. But it's always hard to know what someone else thinks is, quote unquote, anime. We didn't come up with the first premise idea. In March 2002, we were sent a premise that had been written by Mark and Michael Edens. It was titled The Source, and it featured He-Man and Teela at the top of the premise. There was a theme spelled out, in this case, main character, He-Man, who learns that his powers must not be used for vengeful purposes. The main focus of the story was to be on He-Man. She says she doesn't recall why Edens didn't keep working on it, but for whatever reason, Dean gave it to us to see if we could come up with an angle that worked for Mattel. We reworked the final premise, retitled it Heart of the Forest, and the theme became main character He-Man who learns that pride goes before a fall. Pride goeth before fall. A couple of weeks later, we turned in another version that was titled He-Man's Pride, and the theme was main character He-Man. He wants to avenge a humiliation to Adam. He needs to learn that he mustn't allow pride and vengeance to be his motivation. Pride goeth before a fall. The one thing the plot of all of these premises had in common was fighting giants. We went to outline starting April 18th, worked through to May 8th, and continued to be a story about He-Man, though the first few revisions, I've attached a page of notes we took from Dean on April 24th. Something was going on behind the scenes. As best we could tell, the story wasn't sitting well with someone at Mattel, and it came close to being killed. It was our first and only time working with Dean Stephan, and he was great to work with, so we don't think it had anything to do with Dean as a story editor. From what we can tell, looking at these notes and our revisions, it probably came down to the story centering on He-Man and Mattel not liking that message being attached to him. Suddenly on May 8th, we turned in a final outline titled Buzz Off's Pride with the story centering on Buzz Off. Somewhere in those intervening days, we must have been instructed to make that change because I wouldn't have chosen Buzz Off. Neither one of us remembers exactly how that went down. We turned in our second and final draft of the script, May 22nd, with tremendous sense of relief.
Interesting.
Yeah, Christy and Randy are awesome, awesome people. Like I said, I've emailed and interviewed Christy several different times over the years, mostly for the Gem stuff that she did and everything else and her career going forward. But yeah, I think it would have been interesting to see the whole He-Man avenging something because of something that happened to Adam, even though He-Man's not supposed to avenge anything.
Yeah, I think that would have been more interesting in a way, because otherwise, like I said, it comes off with Buzz Off. It's a little bit different take. It makes the whole story a little bit different. So, yeah, I could see how they were kind of battling with some difficulties there, trying to rewrite and rework things to make it something that's going to actually get off the ground. But
yeah,
I would have liked to see what their original story had been, you know, if it had all gotten the okay and gone through. Other trivia too to help the artists and writers keep track of the giants when staging the choreography of the fight sequence. Each giant was given a name that started with A, B, or C. They are Azdar, Belzar, and Chedez. So yeah, well, any Havoc Staff's power swords or other notes about this episode?
Not really. It shows, again, a character learning a lesson. Like, there's a point where Buzzoff gets beat the first time, and even though his pride is still getting the best of him, you know, at first he tells Orko, no one must know about this. Of course, by the end, he learns his lesson and has his friends help him and realizes that everybody needs help every now and then. Mm-hmm. It's a standard, and I'm not saying this because I'm not saying anything about the writing with Christy and Randy at all. I'm just saying this is it's a standard lesson teaching moment that we've talked about for the past 7 years with various characters.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see what characters they would have picked if they were told that they couldn't do He-Man. I would be curious if they would have went with like Ram-Man or Man-at-Arms or somebody like that before they went with Buzzoff, or what their choice would have been. But yeah, I guess, you know, it ended up being with Buzzoff, so we get to learn a little bit more about his character, and it is what it is. I have Buzzoff getting a Havoc Staff on this one because, again, he's got a bunch of flaws here with his pride and whatnot, so he needs to be put in place, which he is in this episode.
Yep. I'll give him a Havoc Staff as well, and the... I gotta say, though, I don't know the full name of the A giant, the very first giant.
Azdar.
Azdar, whatever. His voice sounds awfully familiar to me. I can't look it up at this moment, but I swear that is somebody that's a character of other places that I know. I don't think it was Richard Newman, but because I'm pretty sure I would have recognized Ryan Ox immediately, but he has a voice that I swear I know it. Buzzoff's pride for me, I hate to say, but it's a 3.
That's kind of bizarre because I am also at a 3. Azdar, Belzar, and Chedez are voiced by. So the red one is Chedez. That's voiced by Mark Acheson or Acheson. Belzar is the greenish one. He's voiced by Brian Drummond. And Azdar is the purple one, and he's voiced by Richard Newman.
Aha! I knew it.
So, I'm at a 3-2, so we're matched up once again. Full docking going on here. That's disgusting. We need to stop being in lock and see if we can change that as we go to our final episode. Hopefully we won't agree. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully we will agree. Coming up next, episode 21, Snake Pit.
Alert all masters and royal guardsmen. Alpha priority manhunt.
Last up today is episode 21, Snake Pit. Air date March 29th, 2003. Written by Stephen Melching. All of Eternia is put on high alert when Cobra Khan escapes from the Royal Palace prison compound. The masters journey to the Mystic Mountains where they inform the mysterious Zodak of the situation. So we got a lot of stuff going on in this episode. There's a turning point in the series, really, with our first introduction into the Snake Men, and this is going to be a heavy theme throughout the rest of the series. So this is like we've set a lot of stages, we've introduced you to a lot of characters, but this is really going to tip the iceberg as far as the overarching mythology of the rest of the series. So we're going to be introduced to the Snake Men. We also have Zodak being introduced, and a lot of other stuff. And I do think it's very cool that they actually show somebody escaping the prison. Again, we've talked about this in other episodes of other cartoon series reviews and stuff like that, but one thing that some series fail to do is acknowledge the fact that certain characters are captured in prison and put in jail, etc. And that's something that always seemed odd to me as a child, was when I was watching a series and you would have, I'm just going to throw a random example, and I'm not saying this happened in this show, but let's say we're talking about Silverhawks and Melodia gets captured and she's put in jail, and then the next episode Melodia's with Monestar and everybody else again. Like, wait, what happened? And again, I'm not saying it happened in that series, but that's the type of stuff that I remember noticing as a child. Like, wait a second, they captured that person. Why are they out again? So I think it's good when they actually address or acknowledge that either people are in jail or people are escaping jail, showing them how they get back to their, group of villains.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I like that they acknowledge that. Interesting, though, I guess, in this one that they chose to have Cobra Khan escape, who is someone we have not been introduced to, but it's good to see that at least there's somebody in these Royal Palace prisons. And then, yeah, we get all kinds of stuff with Cobra Khan. Rattler, Zodak, Oedipus, Webster, King Hiss. What did you think of this episode?
Man, this is awesome. This is great. This is like you said, oh my God, there are actually people in the palace dungeon, you know. And the Cobra Khan escapes and, you know, we have this big mystery reveal of the fact that Snake Mountain isn't really Skeletor's place. Obviously, you'd think he would, you know, have Bone Palace or whatever,
right.
you know, I don't know, whatever.
Skulls, bones, or crossbones,
Skull,
or whatever.
Skull Island or something.
That's Kong.
Funny. You know, I mean, it's not like you can have Pink Unicorn Island or anything. So it's interesting to learn that Snake Mountain originally was King Hiss and all of that, and the Snake Men, and Cobra Khan, and Rattlore, and like you said, I remember as a kid, a couple of buddies and I used to have a bunch of the He-Man characters, toys, and I didn't have Rattlore, but one of my buddies did. I had Tongue Lash, like, each one of us had one of the Snake Men toys. I had Tongue Lash, or somebody else had Cobra Khan, and somebody else had Rattlore, and then somebody else had Hiss. We would all just, you know, come together after school and just, you know, play with the Snake Men kind of thing. And I always liked Tongue Lash, or I know he's not in this episode directly, but he'll show up later, I'm fairly certain.
Yeah, I had Rattlore, so that was cool to see him show up finally in this series, because even though we had him in the 1980s, it wasn't something that we got to really see them. You know, in cartoon form very much there in the Filmation series, obviously. So this is the first appearance of Cobra Khan, first appearance of Rattlore, first appearance of Zodak. We also get a Webster and King Hiss appearance in cameo form. We get King Hiss in a silhouette, and that was pretty cool. Zodak, I love his line, by the power of the elders. They also, in order to visually demonstrate Zodak's power, the animators created his glowing tattoos to kind of show his powers. But this is just cool. This is cool that they are not only showing the Snake Men and kind of how they are the originators, you know, of Snake Mountain. They kind of trace back into the history of Eternia. But then we also get on the other side of the coin, the Zodak part, where, you know, he and the elders and the power and all that stuff that traces back to the history of Eternia as well. So we get a lot of history here, a lot of new characters, and some character development, and it's kind of really cool how it lays the seed to what's to come later on.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, this is a fantastic episode. I watched this normally, then I watched this with the commentary on it, and then I actually watched it again normally because it had been a couple weeks in between when I watched it and when we were going to record. So I watched it like three times now. And it's just as good every time.
Yeah.
So I have power swords for everybody involved in this episode. So this is one of the best episodes of the series so far. So any power swords you have, to ask for you?
Power swords to everybody that was involved. There was nothing in this that I didn't dislike. It was just an amazing, amazing start, and I'm interested to see how and when they'll pick this up. Considering what the next three episodes are called, I don't think they're going to pick it up right away. I think they're going to be introducing some more characters and have some more other plots.
You also get another appearance from your guy Richard Newman, because he was Rattlore.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Scott McNeil as Cobra Khan and Christopher Judge as Zodak. So all cool voices. I didn't have a problem with any of the voices in this episode like we have in some of the other ones.
I love Cobra Khan and Skeletor talking to each other.
Yeah.
That is so cool. That's just
absolutely
amazing.
Episode rating for this one?
5.
You're
easily.
Gonna do that.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you were going to do that. All right, I'm at a 5.2.
There you go.
I think that might be my first 5. I don't know. I have to go back and check.
It is, I think.
So we're in lockstep today. 4 on the first episode, 3 on the second, 5 on the last. So that is, I don't know if that's ever happened before for us to agree on all 3 episodes.
I don't think so. It's the first.
So the world might explode. You might never hear us again. Masters of Grayskull might have just ended. But we'll hope that that doesn't happen so we can bring you the rest of these hopefully great episodes that are still to come. But that's it for this episode. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll let you know what's coming up next.
At last, Snake Mountain. Prepare to be set free, O ancient ones, to take back your rightful place as the Masters of Eternia!
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Yay! Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week, we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Mighty Skeletor, I have come to pledge my loyalty to you and humbly ask that you allow me to join your great army.
And why do you wish to serve me?
I thirst for revenge against all Eternia for holding me prisoner.
You are Cobra Khan. Your reputation precedes you. I could use a man of your talents. Any objections?
We are back, and yes, it is time to close out episode 114 of the Masters of Grayskull. Coming up next, we've got The Island, The Sweet Smell of Victory, and Separation. So those are the next three episodes that we'll be talking about. In case you haven't been able to tell, folks, I don't have the closing script in front of me. And
good God, I was like, Mike's going off script.
That's right.
I'm staring at the script.
And damn right.
I'm like, why aren't you reading this damn shit?
I'm not reading nothing. I yes, read
thanks
too
for
much.
Listening to us. As we are the Masters of Grayskull. We'd like to give you contact with us or leave feedback. So,
are you really going to do this?
Oh, the website, www.geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all our posts and you can get involved in the conversation that Tim the Toon Man...
The Tim the Toon Man, great.
Tim the Toon Man Taylor.
Oh my Tim God.
Hey. I just killed him. All right, leave the show feedback in iTunes, do that if you will. We'd love some comments now that we've gotten to the 2002 series. You can follow us on Twitter, Geekcast Radio. Don't follow Mike, but if you want to, I guess it's TFG1 Mike. For me, it's Optimus Solo.
You can also follow at Pow of Grayskull on Twitter for the Pow of Grayskull show. That's right.
You can also become a fan of us on Facebook. Just search out Geekcast Radio Network. And then that's when you're supposed to say, we hope you enjoyed the Grayskull goodness today. And don't forget to join us on those three episodes that you already talked about, which are 22, 23, and 24. And this is where I say, for now, I'm TFG on Mike with Optimus Solo.
Yeah, if I'm Optimus Solo, I'm killing myself.
Ow. Ow.
God. Skeletor, take me away.
By the power and the honor of Grayskull, this is Optimus Solo doing everything today.
What you doing, He-Man?
Practicing.
Why? You're He-Man. You're the best.
And practice helps me stay that way, Orko. You learn your lessons, and you put them into action. That's the key to success.
Gotta go.
Where to?
Gotta practice my magic!